Today's reading is from Mark chapter 15, verses 25 to 41, on page 1023. It was 9 in the morning when they crucified him. The written notice of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." They crucified two rebels with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "So you, who are going to destroy the temple and build it again in 3 days, come down from the cross and save yourself." In the same way, the chief priests and teachers of the law mocked him among themselves. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. Let this Messiah, this King of Israel, come down now from the cross, that we may see and believe." Those crucified with him also heaped insults on him. At noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. And at 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing near heard this, they said, "Listen, he's calling Elijah." Someone ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar, put it on a staff and offered it to Jesus to drink. "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down," he said. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus saw how he died, he said, "Surely this man was the Son of God." Some women were watching from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James the Younger, and of Joseph, and Salome. In Galilee, these women had followed him and cared for his needs. Many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem were also there.
Just count the passes that one of the teams is making. You'll see when it comes up. You ready? Let's go.
This is an awareness test. How many passes does the team in white make?
Go!
The answer is 13. But did you see the moonwalking bear?
It is easy to miss something that you're not looking for. And for those of you who are thinking, yeah, was it really there the first time? Yes, it was. Yes, it was. That bear was there. It is easy to miss what we're looking for. Now, look, when Jesus was crucified, we're told that all sorts of people missed something important about Jesus. So we heard, didn't we, as Luke read to us, a number of things. There were the passers-by, the people walking past. Oh, there's a crucifixion taking place. They just saw a criminal on the cross. And then there were the Jewish leaders. They're in verse 31 of our reading. They just saw a wannabe Messiah, a leader. Well, he was upsetting their finely balanced power, so they got rid of him. But look at what the centurion, who was the one who was in charge of the crucifixion, the Roman soldier, what he said. Verse 39, let me read it. When the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus saw how he died, he said, "Surely this man was the Son of God." So what did the centurion see that so many other people missed? That's the question. What did he see that so many people missed? And the question for us today, all of us, is, well, have we missed something important about Jesus? Have we missed something important too? Well, Mark tells us a number of things. I'm going to focus on two things. And the first thing is what Jesus says on the cross. And we'll see why Mark says that's important. Now, Jesus, verse 33, if you've got your Bibles open, verse 33, let's see what happens. And Luke, your Aramaic was excellent. Let me give it a go too. Verse 33, at noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. And at 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now, why did Jesus say that? What did he mean by that? The people there were confused. Some people were saying, oh, he's calling for Elijah. Is he asking for God to save him, to bring him down on the cross? Is it a cry of despair, a dying man who doubts God's goodness and love? Is that why Jesus says those words? Yeah, Jesus calls out to the Father, and heaven is silent. What's going on? Well, Mark wants to tell us what's going on. Now, earlier in his book, he's told us these words. Mark 10:45, Jesus said, for even the Son of Man, that's Jesus talking about himself, he did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus came to serve by giving of his life, by dying, how? To set us free. Well, how did that work? What was going on? Well, to help us think a little about this, I've got a little experiment to try here at the front of church. I have practiced it, and I'm hoping it's going to go all right. But it involves eggs, and anything could happen. So let me just get a table. Now, I'm afraid those at the back, it's going to be a bit harder for you to be able to see what's going on. There's nearly always plenty of seats at the front, I might add. But anyway, because this involves eggs, let me just move those. I need a tablecloth. There we go. And definitely lots of paper tissues. Okay, lots. I've tried. Now, I'm going to need a couple of volunteers at this point. Come on, Iona, do you want to come up? Right. I'd like to give you an egg. Okay, try not to drop it. There we go, you got it. Now, what I'd like you to do on the egg, okay, is to draw a face. Okay, what colour would you like? Would you like purple? Yeah, purple. Right. Now, in drawing a face on the egg, this egg here, let me just take the lid off for you. There we go. There we go. This egg here represents you, me, all of us. So you can draw it like whoever you like. Ooh. Who got hair? Wonderful. And anything else? Any other features that you'd like to add? Oh, a grin. Teeth, that's brilliant. Sorry, it's really small. That's brilliant. Well done. Okay, now we're going to carefully, without dropping your wonderful little egg, I'm going to show you. It's got a little face on. Those at the back, sorry. Well done. I think it's you. No, so this egg represents all of us. I'm going to pop that there. Now, thank you very much. Now, you can just stay here for a moment. I need another volunteer, okay? Someone, come on, Ruby, up you come. And I want you to take another egg, okay? And on this egg, just a pen, okay? What I'd like you to draw on there is a J for Jesus, okay? A J for Jesus. Is that okay? Wonderful, thank you. Now, for those smaller people around here who want to come and see what happens, you're welcome to kind of come up to the front here so you get a better view. So if anyone wants to bring any little ones up, you can. Now, what we're going to do, okay, is we're going to see, so I'm going to put Jesus in a cup like this, and then, are you ready for this? Okay, what we're going to do, this could go horribly wrong, okay? And it will make a mess. So, right, can you see? Come on, Emily, come and have a closer look. Right, we're going to put Jesus on top of us, and I'm going to put this tube on top of this. Here we go. Ooh. No, it's all right, it's all right. I've got a little gap there for all the ooze to come out. Okay, now, are you ready?
Yes.
Now, who wants to let go of it? You know, go on, Erin, do you want to? What do you think is going to happen? Do you think? Yeah. Do you want to hold it and then let go? Can you reach? You ready?
Yeah.
You ready? Let go.
Oh.
Now, for those at the back, can you describe what's going on at the moment? What's happened? There's egg everywhere, isn't there? Egg everywhere, all over my trousers as well. Okay, now look. Oh, yuck, yuck, yuck. What's happened, Ruby, to your Jesus? What's happened? Jesus, yeah, he's been crying. That Jesus has been utterly, utterly smashed. Question is, Iona, what about you?
Wow.
Look at that. Are you all right?
Yeah.
Apart from egg everywhere, success. Survive. Now, what's happened? What's happened? Do you want to go and sit back down? Where are the paper towels? There they are. mess everywhere. what happened? Well, when Jesus died on the cross, he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? What's happening? To be forsaken means that God has, if you like, left him, has abandoned him. And at the same time as Jesus cries out, we're told, verse 33, that a darkness came over the whole land for 3 hours. And in the Old Testament, darkness over the land means that God is angry. God is judging. And as Jesus hangs on, he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you judging me? But we want to say, well, hang on a minute. Well, hang on, who's God angry at? Is God angry at Jesus on the cross? Well, he can't be. Jesus was his perfect son. He never did anything wrong. He had no reason for God to be angry at him. What's going on? Well, Jesus is becoming sin, our sin, and God is judging Jesus for our sin. After Jesus cried out, somebody went and gave him like a drink on a sponge, on a stick, you know, to try to give him something to drink. But the drink that Jesus must die is an altogether much more bitter drink. It is the cup of God's wrath for our sin. So when Jesus cries out on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you left me? Why have you abandoned me? It's not that Jesus is doubting or he's unsure. He's stating a truth. He's actually quoting Psalm 22. Psalm 22, where David speaks as the king who suffers and is afflicted for God, and yet one day God will prove him right. Jesus knows what's going on. Jesus becomes sin, our sin for us. He was smashed so that we wouldn't be. Jesus, he stood between us and God's anger, and he bore it so that we could go free. For the Son of Man, Jesus, did not come to be served, but to serve. He served us by dying on the cross. He served us. He did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. He died in our place. I wonder this Good Friday, we've really appreciated that. If we really, really taken on board what it was for Jesus to die for our sin, to be there as the one punished by God, he bore the wrath, God's anger, so that we could be ransomed, we could be set free, we could be forgiven for our sin. Good Friday is a funny day. It is Good Friday, not Bad Friday, but yet it's still Sad Friday, because it is a sad thing that Jesus had to die, but it is gloriously good. So let's just take a moment and thank Jesus that he died. He stood between us and God's anger so that we wouldn't have to face it. Let's just take a moment of quiet. Our Lord Jesus, thank you that Jesus, who had no sin, became sin for us, so that in him we might become right with you before God. Father, we thank and praise you that Jesus loved us that much. He came into the world to serve us by dying for us. He took the blame. He bore the wrath that we deserved. Thank you that we can be forgiven because of the cross. Amen. That Jesus has become sin for us. Well, what does that mean? What does that mean for us? Well, we know because of what happened when Jesus died. The very moment Mark tells us that Jesus died, at that moment, he shifts the focus from the cross to the temple across the city. And we're told, look at verse 37 with me. Verse 37, with a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. So not only was it, you know, not only did it kind of rip, but it ripped from the top down to the bottom. In other words, that this was some extraordinary supernatural event. In other words, it was torn in two by God. It was a big, heavy curtain. And this curtain was important. What's that all about? Well, to help us understand about this curtain, I need to take you back in time to the Garden of Eden. Here's the Garden of Eden, if you imagine. Okay, and if you remember in the Garden of Eden, we're told that when Adam and Eve had rebelled, they'd rejected God, they turned their back on God and his rules and his way, they were sent out of the garden. Their sin, turning away from God, rejecting God's love and his rule, when they turned their back on God, they had to leave. And this is what we're told in Genesis chapter 3 happens. After God drove the man out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. What's that about? Well, because Adam and Eve had sinned, indeed, then through them, all humanity would also sin, that sin separated them from God. Sinners can't be friends with a holy God any more than newspaper can be friends with a fire. Okay, and so they were separated. They couldn't stay in God's presence because of their sin. If you like, a barrier was placed at the Garden of Eden, and guarding it was these cherubim. Now, cherubim are angels and a flashing sword, okay, to kind of guard the way. If I can make that stick up all right. Okay. A barrier to protect humanity, because remember, as sinners, we can't stand in the presence of a holy God. We can't be friends with God. And so Adam and Eve were driven out of the garden. Now, why am I telling you about this? Well, because that needs to take us to God's temple. Let's turn this round. And inside the temple was a series of rooms within the rooms. And in the heart of the temple was a special room. It was called the Holy of Holies, or the Most Holy Place. So let's put that up there. Holy of Holies, the Most Holy Place. And of course, because that was where God, in this most holy place where God was, if you like, specially present, no one could go into this room, into the most holy place. It's where the Ark of the Covenant was, if you remember last year from our series in 1 Kings, in the temple. And so a barrier was put up to stop people from coming in, a curtain. And stitched onto the curtain, embroidered, was cherubim. Why? It was to remind them of the Garden of Eden. It was God's way of saying, look, sinful humans can't come into the presence of God. The Holy of Holies, once a year on the Day of Atonement, the high priest would be able to go in and make a sacrifice. But now on the curtains, this reminder, sinful people can't be going into the presence of God. We can't be friends with God. It's like God saying this curtain was again like a big warning for us, wasn't it? A barrier. Danger. Do not enter. Do not enter. But at the moment that Jesus died, we're told that this curtain was torn in two. It was torn in two. Why? Because, well, wonderfully, sinful people could be forgiven and come into the very presence of God, to be friends with God again. Jesus has dealt with sin, the problem that has excluded humanity from God's friendship since the beginning, has been dealt with fully and finally. It's wonderful good news. Now, what does that then mean for us? Well, there's a book in the New Testament that helps understand why this is important. It's the book of Hebrews. And the reading's up there up on the screen for us. And it tells us why this torn curtain is an invitation for us to come to God. So the writer says, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened up to us through the curtain, that is his body, Jesus' body, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. See, because the curtain has been torn in two, so the reading says, we can draw near to God. We can come to God. Now, have you ever been in a place where you're not sure where you're supposed to go in? Do you know that is? Where's the main entrance? How'd you get into this? I was trying to find somebody's house, their flat this week, and I was wandering up and down the road. I had no idea how you got into this flat. The person had to come down and get me and bring me in. But here we're told that the way is open for us to come to God by faith. We're trusting Jesus for forgiveness. We can draw near to God. Why, we belong there. There's nothing holding us back. I love this picture here, okay? It's a picture of the President of the United States, J.F. Kennedy. But the picture's really about J.F. Kennedy Jr. And there he is under the desk. Now look, that picture is in the Oval Office in the White House in America. It is the most guarded place on the planet. Okay, you simply just cannot walk in and think, oh, I'll go and visit the president today. I'll go and see if I can, you know, have a coffee with him. No, you can't just walk into the Oval Office. But his son can. Anyone who goes into the president's office, they must address the president as Mr. President. But no, his son, he belongs there, can call him Daddy. So it's a wonderful picture, isn't it, of someone who belongs with his father. He has access, he's free, that's his place. That the president isn't there kind of grumbling, what's my child doing here, clear off. No. Now the curtain is torn and we can enjoy friendship with God. We have that privilege. Isn't that wonderful? So let us draw near, we're told. Let us come to God. There's nothing holding us back. And we're to do that, we're told, with assurance, full assurance. You see, what can hold us back from coming to God? Well, we can be full of doubts and uncertainties. Satan can say, look at your sin. God wouldn't want anything to do with you. Look at your sin. No, God says, look at my son. Look at my son. He died on the cross to forgive you and make you clean so that you can come near to God in confidence and enjoy. What's holding us back? What's hindering us from coming to Jesus? Charles Spurgeon said, when Jesus died on the cross, the curtain in the temple was torn from top to bottom so that big sinners like me can fit through. Friends, there's nothing holding us back from coming to God. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Good Friday. Jesus gave himself, and as he died, he opened the way for us to come to you because he became our sin. Father, we thank and rejoice that the way is open for us. Jesus has gone through. He takes us with him. And we can sit in your very presence and as your people to know that we are loved as your children. To know we can call you Father. And to know that you delight in us. Because we've trust in Jesus for forgiveness of sin. Thank you for this Good Friday. Amen.